Happy Friday. It is the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, and we are presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. We have a duo in the studio today.
We do.
Me, Field Yates, and Mike Clay. What's going on, my friend?
Well, it's Halloween season, so one of us dressed up
Yeah, Mike decided to put on his footy pajamas, Eagles footy pajamas, no less.
Yeah.
This is what happens. A team goes 6-0 to start, you're riding high, and all of a sudden you start wearing costumes 3 days before Halloween.
That's what you do. It is the season. I'm going to enjoy it. We've been celebrating all month. Actually, you got kind of a costume. You have C. Are you me?
Yeah,
you got C for Clay? Is that what that is?
C for Clay. Yes.
Or Captain?
Cuts clothing, but.
Cuts clothing?
Yeah.
Captain? You're the captain
very
of the podcast?
Sweatshirt.
You're the captain now?
I'm the captain now.
Anyway, I'm comfortable. It is a little toasty in here. Not going to lie, but it's comfortable.
You'll survive just 1 hour.
Any excuse to wear pajamas to work? I mean, you got to take it.
Yeah.
Anytime that window's open.
Agreed. By the way, you and I are by ourselves today because Stefania is speaking as the keynote speaker at one of the most prestigious PT conferences in the country. It's taking place in San Diego. I'm not sure if Stefania would have made it there if it were in Manitoba right now. But hard to turn down San Diego, especially when I woke up this morning here in cheery Connecticut, and it was 37 degrees. Stefania's brilliance continues to shine in more ways than just her fantasy insight. We're going to do our usual Friday preview. We're going to have lineup locks, as much injury information as we can provide you. We are not Stefania. A Thursday night football recap, but we begin with just a tad bit of news here, Mike, as the Chiefs have made a move for a wide receiver, acquiring Kadarius Toney from the New York Giants. He had been anonymous this year because he's been on the injury report all season. What do you make of this move for the Chiefs?
I think that you look at one of the best offenses in the NFL and you see a team that doesn't have necessarily a long-term number one locked in, that explosive player like Tyreek Hill was, especially when you think that about Travis Kelce and, you know, he's 32 years old, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is worth the risk for the Chiefs. And if things get turned around and he stays healthy, this could be huge for them. This could be Mahomes' number one wide receiver target for the next 5, 7, 8 years. For sure. And for that reason, I think if you have him in season long or especially dynasty or keeper, you hold tight for now. You know, it might be the window's kind of open to maybe trade him away, like take advantage of the spike in value. But I wouldn't go out of my way to do that. I have him in a lot of leagues. I talked about him a lot a couple of years ago when he was or last year when he was drafted. He was undervalued in rookie drafts, was able to get him in a lot of leagues. And I'm just kind of I'm going to hold tight for now and see how this plays out. It could go horribly wrong. Didn't work out in New York. He's a first round pick who already got traded. Not great.
Yeah.
But there is tremendous upside for a guy that when he has touched the football so far in this league has been an explosive playmaker. He has been awesome when he's had the football in his hands.
Yeah. You know, Giants fans will tell you it's like Bigfoot though, right? Like you rarely see Kadarius Toney on the field. When he does have the ball in his hands, though, I mean, we're talking about rare change of direction skills. He's awesome with the football in space. Maybe a change of scenery is what he needs, though, because that hamstring injury that's kept him off or on the injury report and off the field maybe went away effective yesterday as Kadarius Toney basically said, I'm healthy, I'm good. He later deleted the tweet. So we'll see how soon he is on the field for the Chiefs, who are on a bye this week. But availability has been the big question mark, right? And that's going to continue to be the thing that we don't know with Kadarius Toney until he actually proves it. Someone shared this, that Kadarius Toney has more songs on Spotify than he does career catches in 24 games in the NFL. 12 of those, he has been unavailable on the field. Strikes me as a more valuable potential fantasy move in Dynasty, as you just referenced, Mike, because even if he does play for the Chiefs, like, what's the obvious role they have available right now, right? Like, they obviously have their alpha in the passing game in Travis Kelce, and they kind of have a bunch of, I wouldn't say number one wide receivers. They've got like three guys who are all picking up like number two or number three wide receiver roles. So not sure that I expect him to have massive fantasy upside right away in Kansas City, but one of the more interesting stashes because the talent is just so unique.
Yeah, and this year he might just settle in this rotation, right, with Mecole Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster's been pretty good the past couple of weeks. And of course, MVS is going to keep a role and they want to get Sky Moore some snaps. So he might just be rotated in. And then, of course, next year things open up a little bit with Juju,
no
a free agent, right?
He's going to win. And they're both going to be free agents, I should note. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see how that plays out. I would say this in season long, there was one league I looked at. It's actually, I think, our 10 or 12 team league, staff league, where he was on waivers. It was like the only league he was available in. And I didn't pick him up. I looked yesterday. He was there. I had actually had him earlier in the year because I'm pretty happy with my bench, right? Like, I would have dropped like Wandale Robinson or Gus Edwards or something like that. I wasn't prepared to do that. Like, yeah. I don't think he's a must. Like, you have to have him right now. He's going to be a wide receiver two or three right away. He's probably going to be rotational for a while till he works his way into this offense. So more value certainly in Dynasty.
He's just interesting because he's got so much talent. And yeah. at the end of the season, if you told me that he scored a total of 100 fantasy points over 10 games played for the Chiefs, they have 10 games left.
Roughly, yeah.
If he had scored 50 fantasy points over the last 10 games, I'd be like, yeah, I believe that.
Okay.
If you told me that he had scored 150, I'd be like, oh, things went pretty well. Like, that's kind of interesting. So wide range of outcomes is a phrase that we often use here in fantasy football. I would say that applies to Kadarius Toney for the rest of this season. Let's break down Thursday night football as the Ravens win 27-22. The Bucs got some late points to close the gap here, so it really wasn't that close. The Bucs are now 3-5. We'll rip through this quick. Lamar Jackson with a pretty solid night here fantasy-wise. Nearly 240 passing yards, only 43 rushing yards, but he had two touchdowns, good for 21.8 fantasy points. Back on track after a little bit of a slump for him. And then the backfield was kind of annoying here, Mike. Mm-hmm. You cautioned us with Gus Edwards is that he would have how many targets last night, did you guess?
One.
You guessed one? Okay.
Well, that's what I had him projected for. Yeah, what do you have, zero?
He had 65 rushing yards and zero targets. Mm-hmm. So with Gus Edwards, the calculus is the same, and I probably got a little bit in over my skis yesterday, is that like you have to have a touchdown from Gus Edwards for it to really pay off. You have to, because he's going to get zero passing game utilization. As a matter of fact, Kenyon Drake had four catches last night, including a five-yard touchdown. So there might be an interesting conversation next week about, would you actually start Kenyon Drake over Gus Edwards? Which... I think Gus Edwards is a more talented player, clearly, at this point of his career. But, man, like, in terms of vehicles to getting fantasy points, Drake has way more than Gus Edwards does right now.
Yeah, first of all, it assumes that Edwards plays, right? Yeah. Obviously, Dicey was questionable going into this game, missed all that time earlier this year. He left last night's game in the fourth quarter, so... we'll see how it plays out, but I don't think any of us ranked Edwards as like a starter, right?
No, or I had him like running back 30
like
going
maybe a flex,
yesterday.
Right? Yeah. So it's same thing. We're going to be in the same boat. They're going to use three running backs. And keep in mind, in a few weeks, hopefully J.K. Dobbins will be part of this backfield. It's just going to be a mess, right? Yeah. So situation to avoid if you can.
I think the wide receivers are kind of in that same boat, by the way, because Rashad Bateman did play last night. He was active, I should say, but he barely saw the field. He had zero catches. He had just one target. Feels like that foot is bothering him. Perhaps this mini bye will get him right, but he has not met expectations that we are hoping for coming into this season. Devin Duvernay had another solid night last night. He found the end zone as a rusher, 16.4 fantasy points, but it's hard to predict week in and week out what he's going to give you.
Yeah.
And then James Prochet had a kind of a mini breakout night last night. Like, I think you avoid here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Bateman, who they said it's kind of a minor setback, so he might be okay in 10 days. The good news is he was playing a lot of the snaps right off the bat, and then he kind of was limited a little, and then he was just removed from the game. So there's potential for him to be a fantasy starter going forward. If he is out, though, then Duvernay. Yeah. Is on the flex radar, but that's it. I agree.
And then Mark Andrews left the game due to a shoulder injury. Just a massive, massive blow. He caught the very two first passes of the game after last week having zero catches. He finished with three catches yesterday, left the game due to a shoulder injury. He came in battling a knee injury, went to the locker room. We didn't see Mark Andrews again. That's no good. One of the best players in the NFL, regardless of position. And then Isaiah Likely steps in and has a great game. Six catches, 77 yards, a nifty touchdown catch at the back of the end zone. How much of a priority should Isaiah Likely be on waiver? I know we're still 4 days away from that, but available in 98% of leagues, Mike, he's going to be one of the most popular targets, I'd imagine, next week.
He is with Andrews Dicey, but here's the thing. Baltimore plays on Monday Night Football next week, right? So they have a super long bye, and that's going to... Look, if Andrews is just ruled out or he's practicing and he looks good, you're not going to have to worry about it much. But if he's Dicey or a game time decision, you basically have to get Likely on your bench, or you need to have, I think they're playing the Saints, right? So you'd have to have like Juwan Johnson or Taysom Hill or something like that,
right?
Kind of sitting on your bench. But you need to have some insurance for him if you're going to wait it out. And he's a player that you want to wait for if you can, right? So Likely looked good. I know yesterday I took a little heat on Twitter because I kind of talked about how Josh Oliver's role was increasing and Likely's role was decreasing, which was true leading up to this game. But when Andrews went out, they just slotted Likely right into that role, and he did pretty well. So good for him.
For the Bucs, let's rip through it really quickly. Tom Brady managed 325 passing yards and a touchdown. I didn't think he looked great. No surprise there, right? I mean, I think everybody felt that way after their performance last night. He missed a wide open Mike Evans early in the game on a play that there was a penalty called, so really no harm as they scored on, I think, the next play with Leonard Fournette on the ground. But man, 17.1 fantasy points, a lot of meat left on the bone for Tom Brady. Another good smash spot available for Brady. He didn't smash, and there's not much you can do about it, Mike, but it's frustrating for those of us that are continuing to start Tom Brady in a 6-point passing touchdown league.
Yeah, he didn't smash, but he'll still finish top 12, maybe top 10 this week.
Right. I think that's what we have to just like recalibrate is that like I thought coming into the season, he could have those top 5 weeks.
I agree.
Those top 5 weeks are just totally fleeting right now. Mm-hmm. He might get you a top 10 week more often than not, but the days of elite Tom Brady at fantasy seem to be maybe a thing of the past.
And there's only if that's what we talked about though, right? He might hang in that QB1 conversation because this might be good enough. You're like, I'll take 17 from anyone. You know, it's not one of those top five guys that we could rely on. Otherwise, you're like, 17? Yeah. I'll take that from anybody. Just give me those points right now.
The two wide receivers, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, 6 for 75 for Chris Godwin on 11 targets. You and I were talking about this before the show. It just feels like he's getting so close to that breakout game, but still the volume is absurd for
no
Chris
Godwin. No top 20s yet. No top 20 finishes, but he's so close.
He's a nail biter. He'll be so close there. And then Evans also had 11 targets. Could have had that touchdown if Brady just puts the biscuit in the basket on an easy throw. I could have made that throw.
Two weeks in a row, he should have had a touchdown. Yes. Yeah.
But still, 6 catches, 123 yards. So both those guys remain lineup blocks. And Leonard Fournette did cede a little bit of work last night to Rashad White, Mike, but he made good on the opportunity to score at the goal line, and he had 3 catches, so nearly 15 fantasy points for Lenny. I think he's still sort of hanging on to that sort of low-end RB1 value. Even in an inefficient rushing offense that didn't look a whole lot better last night.
Yeah, he came in at RB6 in fantasy points and had another decent day. He has, you know, he promised, I'd say after what was a week two or three, it's like touchdowns are coming.
Yeah.
Don't worry. And sure enough, he has 5 touchdowns in his last 5 games. So he's fine. I agree. He's a mid-range RB1 right now.
Yeah. So, and I know that every game, it's like the Bucs keep sort of suggesting maybe we'll change some things up in terms of personnel. Rashad White got some run last night, Mike, but not a ton. And I didn't think when I saw him last night, I wasn't like, oh yeah, that guy looks like he's the answer. Like he's playing at a different speed than Leonard Fournette. Like he's got some skill and some ability, but it's not like Rashad White's going to be the key that turns this Bucs offense around.
He did have that nice catch and run, which is fine, but you know, he's in the NFL. He can make plays occasionally, but yeah, the snaps leaned heavily toward Fournette. He's still the main guy there.
Let's rip through it. We have 13 games to preview, if my math is correct. 14 games to preview as the Chargers and the Chiefs are on a bye. As we begin London, 9:30 a.m., and the game between the Jaguars and the Broncos is exclusively on ESPN+. Looking forward to this one. As far as lineup blocks go, we have Travis Etienne thrust into a large role for the Jaguars and Cortland Sutton for the Broncos. He's projected for 13.3 fantasy points by Mike. He's been really good. I know there's been sort of a dud week here, or there was a dud week last week, but still, Sutton's a really, really good player, and it sounds like he's going to have Russell Wilson back on the field this Sunday as Russ has been limited in practice, but I mean, I don't know how often that you fly 8 hours, you stretch out for 4 and high knees for some of that. Like,
you want to do more high knees? You did some yesterday.
No, I'm good. You're good? I had a pulled something. Yeah. A pulled muscle of some sort.
Yeah, exhausted. A little sore from yesterday.
Russ is going to play on Sunday, Mike, and we discussed it yesterday. And I posted the video of our conversation yesterday, like, should you be starting Russell Wilson? And I can't tell if it's people who are just sort of sick of who Russ has become as a person, or if they're just not interested in starting him. But people are like, no way I'm starting Russ. Where do you settle here?
Yeah, but again, the kind of the conversation with Brady, I think if you ran that poll on everyone after like QB5 or 6, like after Kyler, everyone's going to say no. It's going to be like 85% no for everyone.
Yeah.
But somebody has to fill that 6 through 12 spot in our quarterback rankings every week. And Russ is close to that. I mean, he's outside for me. I'm a little down. I have him QB 16 here. He only has 1 weekly finish better than 14th. He had that one huge game. Otherwise, he hasn't really given you a respectable floor. I will say this. The Jags have kind of stumbled a little bit defensively. They're going to be without Shaq Griffin, who is their top corner as well. But they have allowed 3 huge games, 27 plus fantasy points to 3 different quarterbacks. Maybe that gives him some sort of life here. Maybe after the week off, he gets headed in the right direction. But I mean, look, I have him ranked as a QB2. I think you probably can find a better option.
Would you really start any Broncos running back on Sunday?
I know. No, I mean, if you're picking one, it's Melvin Gordon. He did take control back last week, but who knows? Maybe he fumbles early in this game, and he doesn't play another snap. We've seen that happen already, and he didn't even fumble the first time.
I ended up ranking Latavius Murray higher only because he's been better near the goal line, but I have Latavius Murray as the highest ranked Broncos running back at running back 36 on Sunday, Mike. 36 for a team that we thought could have potentially two top 25 running backs coming into the season.
I'll add this. Jags, 130 plus yards allowed to running backs in four straight. So maybe a little bit of appeal
better
there. But
than you might realize.
Maybe you're talking like DFS showdown captain leagues and not season long. I would try to avoid. But again, I'm going to lean toward Gordon.
Now people are kind of onto it with Jerry Jeudy. He's hit or miss and the hits are sort of infrequent here. We've got him as wide receiver 30 and 32. So consensus rank here for ESPN is actually wide receiver 32. I like the talent. I'm not enamored by the talent so far, and we'll see whether Jerry Jeudy remains a Bronco come Tuesday afternoon.
Quick nugget here. We're going to do like an expanded playbook for this game.
Okay.
That's going to be up, I think, probably today or tomorrow. Yep. Of course, it's on ESPN Plus. We're going to have a little fun with that, so you can check that out. But in there, I write about how I think with Griffin out, Tyson Campbell, who's been an impressive second-year corner, I think there's a good chance he shadows Cortland Sutton. That would put Trey Herndon, who's filling in for Griffin, on Jeudy throughout, or actually he'd be on Hamler throughout a lot of this game, but it opens up potentially more targets for the other receivers, including Jeudy in the slot in this game against Darius Williams. So I do think he has three top 20s. Like he's had some good games. I feel decent about him in this game.
Hasn't been fun to watch the Broncos passing offensive late, but Greg Dulcich, continue to keep an eye on him. Like, go out and grab him on waivers if he's available. Maybe if you have Mark Andrews and you can grab him right now, that will be a useful pickup. For the Jaguars, Mike, this is a team that started hot early offensively. They've kind of leveled off here. And Trevor Lawrence, I know it's not like he's been lighting the world on fire, but stay away this week. That Broncos defense is the real deal.
Yeah, one quarterback has been over 11.5 fantasy points against
them.
That was Geno Smith in week one.
Wow.
That was a long time ago. Wow. They have been dominant just across the board defensively. They've been fantastic. They're the only thing saving them and giving them a chance right now.
And that's why we have guys like Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram ranked lower as well. Kirk did have 10 targets last week. That was good because he had gotten into a bit of a target lull. Wide receiver 25 for me, wide receiver 26 for Mike. Let's go to the Cardinals and the Vikings. They play later on in Sunday. I think it's a 1 p.m. game, a more normal time frame. Let's get to the lineup blocks here and actually a good dose of them. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Zach Ertz, Dalvin Cook, and Justin Jefferson. No surprise there. As far as the injuries go here, James Conner has been back on the practice field this week, which suggests there is a chance he plays on Sunday. So assuming he plays, Mike, how high would you rank him and would you have any interest in Eno Benjamin?
Yeah, I have Conner 23rd. I don't know if they're going to give him the reins fully back, though.
Can't imagine they do.
And, you know, Benjamin has looked good. And Connor, like, even when he's played this season, has missed time often. Like, he just has not been able to stay out there. But I will say this. When he has played, he's averaging 13.6 touches and a little under 61 yards per game. That's enough for me to at least consider him for my flex spot here. Yep. That's why I give him the edge. I would give him an edge over Benjamin. I have to see Benjamin pass him first before I do that. So if Connor plays, he's the flex. Benjamin is on benches. If Connor's out, of course, we're locking Benjamin in the lineup.
Every preseason concern I have for James Connor has been borne out, right?
Yeah.
Will he miss time? Yeah. I said, like, you know, last year he became the guy unto himself, not by design, but by necessity. Would that continue? It hasn't. This is why maybe you don't pay running backs a ton of money during the offseason, because, you know, Benjamin, a seventh round pick, has been just as effective on a per play basis as James Conner was. So that's a tangent, but I digress. Rondale Moore had a ton of volume prior to, like, there was that stretch where he was getting like 7-8 targets per game. Yeah. Then things like really cooled off. And then he was only getting catches near the line of scrimmage. And then last week he had a 31 yard catch, but just one catch for him. So he has moved off the flex radar, unless you're in a deeper league, in my estimation.
Yeah, only two targets. They played him on the boundary, which his whole career he's been in the slot, and he's really short. So it doesn't really make sense. I think they even threw him an end zone fade for some reason.
I'm like, why? Of him of all people to throw.
Yeah, but, and by the way, I thought, like, as Robbie Anderson gets more acclimated and they play him more on the outside, they'll put Rondale in the slot. And that may happen, at least more slot work.
Okay.
But DeAndre Hopkins is not just a left receiver anymore. He's moving all around the formation, that could be problematic for Rondale Moore. So I don't feel great about him right now.
Yeah, so Kirk Cousins hasn't like smashed so far this year. He's got just one 20-point game. But in a week in which we are looking for quarterback options with, I'll restate it one more time, 25% of our startable quarterbacks on bye, That's only two guys, by the way, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Kirk Cousins, a top 10 play for me. He's number 11 for you, Mike, so just one spot behind
me. He has four top 12s. That's like hitting the lottery quarterback this year. We'll take that.
Yeah. Adam Thielen kind of been back from fantasy, not irrelevance, but he sort of emerged over the past 4 weeks prior to the bye. I've got him as wide receiver 28, you at wide receiver 29.
But all he does is score touchdowns, and Arizona has only allowed three of those to wide receivers this season. They've low-key kind of been pretty decent against that position.
I would not have guessed that at all.
Yeah, something to think about there. But the targets have been there, plus and five straight. So there's enough there at least for, I have him 29th. So he's right on that wide receiver three cusp, we'll say.
Let's get to the Raiders and the Saints. And we got a good number of lineup blocks here as well. For the Raiders, obviously Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams, plus Darren Waller, Alvin Kamara for the Saints, and Chris Olave for the Saints. But a lot of injuries in this game, and they could impact those lineup blocks. Devontae Adams has been sick. He's missed the past couple of days, reportedly likely to play on Sunday. So that's good news right there, obviously, for their star wide receiver. And Darren Waller has been back and practicing. So it sounds like there's a chance Darren Waller will play on Sunday. He recently told our friend Jim Trotter, he sort of called his shot. He wasn't likely to play last week against the Texans, but inferred he would be back on the field this week. So we're expecting Darren Waller. Michael Thomas, we're not.
No.
Michael Thomas is not practicing still.
This is 3 years in a row. He's going to play like a handful of games.
Unbelievable, Mike. It's true. It took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. No Michael Thomas yet. No Jarvis Landry yet. And Andy Dalton is starting at quarterback this week. And he's going to be the guy going forward, it sounds like, for the Saints. There's been some debate about whether that should or should not be the case. But Jameis Winston's healthy. It's still going to be Dalton. Derek Carr, though, kind of interesting this week, Mike. The Saints defense, you would have thought, was a stay away because they're so good. They haven't been that good this year, and Marshawn Lattimore still hurt. Bradley Roby got placed on IR. This could be a good matchup for Derek Carr.
Yeah, no doubt. He hasn't shown much upside so far. He's yet to be over two touchdowns or 19.8 fantasy points in a game, so the ceiling hasn't been there. But he does have three top 10s, so he's kind of giving you a respectable floor there to some extent. Also, the Saints have allowed the most fantasy points over expected to quarterbacks this season. So they've struggled in that department, not to mention the injury. So I like Carr as a streamer. And by the way, I mentioned this yesterday, but Andy Dalton, I also like as a streamer. Yeah, do you remember the number? Every single quarterback that has faced the Raiders this season has finished top eight a quarterback in fantasy points, and we're looking for anything we can get a quarterback. Dalton is the guy to consider this week.
Yeah, and again, reminder, he is going to be the guy going forward. Make of that what you will, but he will be the man for the New
Orleans Saints. Four touchdowns when we last saw him.
Yeah, Devontae Adams is, again, a reminder. Sounds like he'll play on Sunday. If not, man, like, I'm not sure you can turn, and this is unlikely, but do you turn to any wide receiver there? Like, is Hunter Renfrow all of a sudden become a top 30 play for you?
I think Renfrow could slide kind of back into what he did last year and see 10 targets. Absolutely. Yeah. And Mac Hollins, when Renfrow is out, had a big game.
Yeah.
So there's enough there. That's a huge target share. Adams is eating up 30% of the targets or so. They have to go to other guys. Yeah, by the way, Renfrow, he's playing behind Mac Hollins. Like, when they have two receivers on the field, he is off the field now. Yeah. The targets haven't been there. So you're avoiding Hollins and Renfrow, obviously, if Adams plays in this one.
Renfrow has one top 40 finish so far this season.
I mean, he's too good to not be playing. Exactly. He got hurt early in the season. You have to think he's not all the way there.
$16 million per year to be an accessory right now.
Yeah.
Surprising.
It's not. I hope he bounces back because he's a really good player. We saw that last year.
Totally is. Let's go to an AFC East matchup. Patriots travel to New York to play the Jets to East Rutherford, New Jersey to be more specific. As far as lineup blocks go, Ramondre Stevenson is it in this game. And I'll be curious because Damian Harris was off the injury report last week and hardly played for the Patriots.
Eight snaps.
We could have, like, if that's how it's going to go the rest of the way, if you knew that, would Ramondre Stevenson be a top eight back for you? Top 10? I mean,
Definitely an RB1.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, he looks great. He's catching a lot of passes as well. There have been no signs whatsoever of Ty Montgomery coming back to the practice field. So you may have found yourself a crown jewel in Ramondre. Injuries, obviously, we know Breece Hall out for the season. Such a bummer there for the Jets star rookie. And Corey Davis has been banged up. Don't believe we've seen him yet on the practice field for the Jets. They've been barely throwing it, though, over the past 4 weeks. They have really, really moved away from those wide receivers. Joe Flacco was kind of catapulting the value for them. So let's get into the pass catchers that maybe matter more here, Mike. And I guess for the Patriots, it's back to Jacoby Myers, who just rock solid, steady, even low volume last week, got you 10 fantasy points on a really, really nice touchdown catch and another catch later on in the game.
It was a nice effort. It was underthrown and he fell down, got back up and ran into the end zone, or kind of dove into the end zone. But that bailed you out because otherwise it would have been a dud game. Yeah. Six total targets over his past 2 weeks. Seven prior games, he had at least six in all those games. But he, again, who would have thought, like, he's bailing you out with touchdowns his last three games, right? That's the opposite of what we usually get from him. You know, the perimeter corners for the Jets are their standouts. Good. DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner, Myers usually in the slot, so he is the better matchup here. Perhaps he gets back on track, but I've dropped him to 31st. I think he's more of a borderline wide receiver three here.
Let's discuss these Jets running backs, and it's not about the rest of the season. It's about this week, Mike. Mm-hmm. And Robert Saleh already kind of suggested that James Robinson was going to not be, like, you know, full throttle this week, which stands to reason, right? He's been on the team for 3 days at this point of this conversation. Mm-hmm. So for this week, we feel like Michael Carter has top 15, top 30, top. Mm-hmm. Where do we settle in on Michael Carter's value for this week? Because I've got him as RB 16 per se.
Yeah, I think he's top. Where do I have him? 20th, right? Okay. So I have him as an RB 2. I think he will see a bulk of the touches. I'm expecting about 15 or so.
Okay.
And by the way, they kind of tipped off James Robinson being out or limited for this game by also signing Zonovan Knight off the practice squad, I thought they would do that before the trade, like he'd be their three, but they did that and made the trade. So that's kind of a signal they're not going to be a full go, because you don't need four active tailbacks for this game. So keep that in mind. I would not start Robinson this week. Hold him on your bench. Carter should be in lineups. I think he's borderline lineup lock. He should be a featured player in this game.
Especially if he gets 5 or 7 targets, which is the strength of his game, on top of those carries that
he was already averaging 12 and a half targets or touches a game.
Yeah.
Right. And that was with Breece Hall being terrific. You know, he's near the top of the league and at running back and catches as well. So no doubt with 5 more touches, that's lineup lock territory.
And it certainly is as different a scheme as there is running the football for the Jets compared to the Bears, but the Bears ran all over the Patriots this past Monday night.
By the way, Jets running backs, 3rd in fantasy points, like as a whole, as a unit. Wow. Who would have thought, right? You have really, Carter really Hall, I guess, maybe to some extent, but they're doing well.
One more game here before we take a quick break. Titans and Texans, the game is being played in Houston. Lineup blocks here are, well, 2 running backs that... One you've known for a while, one has burst onto the scene. Derrick Henry, who's ranked as RB2, over 20 fantasy points projected. And Damian Pierce, who's become the man for the Houston Texans. I know, obviously, you're starting Derrick Henry. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But what a matchup this is for him, by the way, right? The Texans, about as generous as it gets to opposing running backs for fantasy points this season. Awesome, awesome matchup. A possible monster day here for Derrick Henry. Injuries to watch here. Interesting one. Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill, who has been limited, he's been banged up. This happened late in the game last week in their emotional win over the Indianapolis Colts. Not that Tannehill's on the starting radar, and not that really any Titans pass catcher on the starting radar, but wouldn't it be interesting to see what Malik Willis looks like, right? Only because there's so much athleticism there, a lot of pre-draft buzz and hype and excitement surrounding Malik Willis. He went in the 3rd round. Seems like the NFL probably valued him differently than the public did, Mike. Mm-hmm. He'd be a fun player to watch, though. If you have him in a dynasty league and you play in a 2-quarterback league especially, could be a fun start this Sunday.
Yeah, him and Desmond Ridder, like, fine end of bench stashes. I think Ritter's probably the better one, though, because the Titans are
good. They're
kind of taking control of that division. Yeah. That was the thing with the quarterback situation there. We weren't going to see Willis unless Tannehill got hurt or the Titans took a big step back and struggled, which I thought they might. You know, their roster took some hits, but... the Colts have disappointed, and here are the Titans, again, seemingly the favorite. So Tannehill should keep this job with this season.
So Robert Woods, we've got him as a low-end wide receiver 4. No surprise there. He's kind of settled off. I would have expected more coming into the season.
No top 25s. Top 25s. And by the way, the Texans, speaking of surprising stats, 2 wide receiver touchdowns allowed this season.
That's it, huh?
That's it. Just 2. Robert Woods. And by the way, he's not even getting targets, right? He has 4 or fewer in, in 4 of his 6 games. Just not happening.
On a game in which you expect them to be able to ground control, they might throw the ball 12 times on Sunday. Texans, though, you just sort of thought Brandon Cooks, because he's been doing it for so long and so reliably, no matter who the quarterback was, would be better than he's been so far this season. He has 1 finish better than wide receiver 45 since the end of week 1 when he was wide receiver 22. Is it about Cooks? Is it about the offense? Like, what do you make of this slow, slow start for really not just Brandon Cooks, but Davis Mills, who I thought looked pretty darn good last year in unusual circumstances?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the 2 best quarterbacks from last year have kind of taken a step back this year, right? Because Mac Jones, same thing. And Mills was, as far as draft capital goes, was pretty good last year. He has not made that step forward. But here's the problem. Oftentimes with a guy like Brandon Cooks, you say, all right, he's getting a lot of volume. he's off to a slow start, that'll kind of fix itself, right? It'll regress to the mean. It'll start to produce. But the problem is, here's his targets. 12, 12, 7, 7, 6, 5. He's going the wrong direction. We need to get more target volume if he's going to have them better days. This is a good matchup, though. I won't read all these stats, but the Titans, most fantasy points allowed to receivers, they've struggled across the board. All the numbers are terrible. This is a good matchup for Cook. So if I'm 23rd, I still think I'm starting him this week,
so
in this
perhaps
matchup.
A confidence boosting week here for Brandon Cooks. And you'd think this game would, I think the problem that I'm sort of struggling with is that like game script would need to be favorable for Brandon Cooks to see those 10 or 12 targets. And while Tennessee is the superior team, like Houston has a penchant for keeping things close. Mm-hmm. And the Titans don't throw the ball a bunch. Like, this could be an uglier game in which they don't have to throw it a ton. I've got Cooks as wide receiver 31, but hopefully Mike is correct because we've all been counting on Brandon Cooks. It has not largely worked out. We're going to discuss the Dolphins and the Lions, plus the Commanders and the Colts, and so much more in a minute. But Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would love that.
Of course you would, Mike. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Your kicker's lining up for an onside kick.
And?
The chances of regaining possession are slim. The stakes are high and the tension is higher. Your pulse racing. He kicks and you watch as the ball lands. Make every play feel this exciting with DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't know if he made it. Did he make it?
Duh.
Did he made it? An official sports betting partner of the NFL and their unbeatable offers. Right now, new customers can make any $5 NFL bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Just place a $5 bet on any football game only at DraftKings Sportsbook using code FFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
We are back and we roll along with our game previews. Dolphins travel to Detroit to play the Lions. We got a bunch of lineup blocks in this game. Two fantasy-friendly teams. Raheem Mostert, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, all lineup blocks for the Miami Dolphins. How good has Raheem Mostert been? Mm-hmm. He's getting passing game utilization as well. DeAndre Swift, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and TJ Hawkinson all crack lineup block territory for their respective position. I will note that DeAndre Swift has been a full participant in practice each of the first 2 days of this week.
Let's go.
Meanwhile, Amon-Ra St. Brown remains in concussion protocol. He has been practicing on a limited basis. He will have to clear by Sunday, but sounds like there is a chance he will be available. That, according to what I sort of took away from Dan Campbell earlier.
And they said he did not suffer a concussion, right? He's just in the protocol with the new policy,
it's
right?
It's a weird sort of thing that like probably only Stefania would understand. Mm-hmm. You and I probably not totally as equipped to speak about it. Mike, Jared Goff started fairly hot. Is he anywhere back onto the starting radar or streaming radar against this Dolphins defense?
Not quite. I mean, first of all, he's not adding value with his legs as usual. And his last passing touchdown was in week 4.
Wow.
They had a bye, but that's two games without a passing touchdown. If Jared Goff isn't getting you passing touchdowns, and you probably need 3 to be a top 10, it's not going to cut it. By the way, Miami, you're going to, again, sometimes you're setting the lineup and you see the green, good matchup.
Yeah.
Miami has a lot of the 5th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, but it was Josh Allen and it was Lamar Jackson. Right. Like, did all of it. So they're not a walk in the park like it might seem.
Do we think Jamal Williams has any value if DeAndre Swift plays, or is he a guy you try to avoid?
I don't think so. The volume wasn't there when Swift was playing early this season. He just was really relying on them touchdowns. And there's, you know, you can make a short list of guys that have a good chance to find the end zone. He's on it, of course. If they get near the goal line, he's going to be in there. So there's that. But also Miami allowing 3.8 yards per carry to running backs. It's one of the best in the NFL. So not really a good matchup for him if he's in that kind of situational role. So I would, if I'm 27th, and that, by the way, that's me moving him up. I kind of moved Swift down thinking maybe he's limited a little bit, coming missing so much time. And I'm still not super optimistic about Williams.
Yeah, what's going to happen, though, is that DeAndre Swift will do the hard work, and then he'll get to like the two-yard line and get tackled, and Jamal Williams will punch in two touchdowns on Sunday. You know, Tua's an interesting one because we did not mention him in the lineup blocks, despite the fact that he is fifth in our ESPN consensus ranks for this week, Mike. He's been a good story this season. Obviously, not a good story when he was dealing with that major, major scary concussion issue, but a good story in terms of when he's been on the field and for fantasy as well. It's a great matchup, perhaps the greatest matchup as far as quarterbacks are concerned. He's had one good quarter for fantasy this year, like one tremendous quarter. Mm-hmm. And besides that, it's been kind of ho-hum. Good spot last week against Pittsburgh. Didn't do a whole lot after that first drive. How confident are you in Tua?
I'm pretty confident. You mentioned the matchup. Lions top five in fantasy points to quarterbacks. Also, I will say this. In terms of floor, you know, if you look, he had a bad game against the Bills.
Yep.
Okay, fine. It's the Bills, right? We'll kind of cross that off for anyone. He's 14-plus fantasy points and at least 260 passing yards in his other games. Yep. All of them so that he's played in full anyway. So I think he'll be okay. And we know he has a ridiculous ceiling with Tyreek and Waddle. So I like him. I think he's a terrific DFS play, and I would stream him this week.
I've got him as quarterback six, so I'm right there with you. Yeah. Just wanted to alert people that, like, you know, one good quarter does not necessarily qualify you as this must start every single week. No ifs, ands, or buts.
But it's hard. It. Like, you have Tua, you just feel like you go into a matchup with Tua in your lineup, you're like, Tyreek and Waddle, yeah, and now get Sicky Moore. You're just right. Like, man, well, he could put a 40. Like, he has that ceiling.
The Commanders travel to Indianapolis to play the Colts. As far as lineup blocks are concerned, there are a few of them. Jonathan Taylor certainly being one of them for the Colts. Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts as well. And then Terry McLaurin, I know people are like, wait, really? He had a good game last week. He's wide receiver 23 on our board this week. Any concern about a Stephon Gilmore shadow this week, Mike?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm very concerned about that. Okay, the Colts have been outstanding against receivers. What is it? Fewest fantasy points to receivers. Gilmore should be on him about 80% of the time. Honestly, we might be too high on him. I'm definitely nervous. The only reason we're this high is because, well, he's coming off a good game. The target volume's been good. And he's a great player. Yeah. That's the only reason that he sustains this. This is a tough matchup.
Let's talk about the other players in this game then. As far as the Commanders' backfield is concerned, Mike, like, it is what it is. And what it is a committee, a full-on committee. Mm-hmm. Antonio Gibson has the good game last week. Brian Robinson had the good game 2 weeks ago. He had 22 touches last week, but it's all coming on the ground for the most part. He is supersized Gus Edwards, right? Like, better volume, you would think, week in and week out. Not dealing with an injury like Gus Edwards still is, but he's not going to catch passes, and Antonio Gibson's role could grow again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so how do you value those Commanders' backs? Is there a clear one to start?
I think if you're picking from the three, including J.D. McKissick, of course, that Robinson's your choice. However, he's no more than a flex, much like Baltimore, right? So he does have Robinson has 17-plus touches in consecutive games. He'll get the goal line work, and he did have two targets last game, and if you said, I'll guarantee you exactly two targets a game for Robinson on top of the rushing mark, I'd be like, all right, I'll take that. That's enough maybe to get him in at least into the RB2 conversation. But you're right. Gibson's going to play a role. And by the way, I'm not starting Gibson. He has 27 touches in three games since Robinson's back, about 9 per game. Not going to do it. Yeah. Not going to do it for a flex option. And of course, McKissick, unless they're getting crushed and he's going to get 6-7 targets, that's his only chance to get on the fantasy radar. Barely played last week. He's going the wrong direction. You don't want him.
Well, two wide receivers kind of going in opposite directions, and Curtis Samuel sort of going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Was a little better last week, Mike, but remember that red hot start that Curtis Samuel had? Those days feel like a thing of the past. He hasn't finished a week as better than wide receiver 25 since week 2. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Paris Campbell has 23 targets over the past 2 weeks. That's 8th in the NFL. Is either of these players usable this Sunday?
I mean, I have Samuel 34th, so he's close. I will say this about Samuel. He had 5 carries last week. They're trying to get the ball in his hands. Again, he has 4 games with 8-plus touches. That's enough. That volume is enough to keep him on the radar, but it is the Colts. Again, fewest fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. You can see a lot of Kenny Moore. I don't feel great about it. Paris Campbell, normally, I would like, but they change quarterbacks, and they're going to lose a lot of passing volume with Sam Ellinger under center and not Matt Ryan, who's all not going to scramble. He's just going to keep throwing it, and who knows who he prefers.
Yeah.
He might throw it to Pittman 16 times. He might throw it to Campbell 15 times. We don't know yet, so there's a lot of risk playing him.
I'll be fascinated to see whether this whole Sam Ellinger experiment works in week 1. I know that Matt Ryan's hurt, but I wonder just how Sam Ellinger looks. Maybe he's a sneaky play. We talked about the athletic ability. Maybe he has some sneaky value as a result of that.
They seem to think they have a gem there. Like they seemed, can't, yeah, they confident. Can't wait to get, they were looking yep. for an excuse to get him on the field. They just yep. feel like they found something, obviously. So we'll see.
49ers and Rams. This game is being played in Los Angeles. As far as lineup blocks go, there are quite a few when these two teams face off. Christian McCaffrey in his second game with the 49ers, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Cooper Kupp, and Tyler Higbee. Now, if you're sitting there watching the show right now and you're like, wait, why would you put Deebo Samuel in your lineup when he's got a projection of 0.0 fantasy points?
Yeah. He's that good at football.
It's out of respect, people. Yeah. No, Deebo Samuel, very questionable for this game. He's yes. missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Him. You and I do not have him ranked, Mike, but other rankers have kept him in their ranks for right now. That will be updated if we get clarity on Deebo Samuel. I would be surprised if he plays on Sunday. So is there another 49ers wide receiver that deserves to be inside of lineups?
Oh, yeah. And Brandon Ayuk is already a borderline starter and a probable starter anyway. He had 11 targets and 80-plus yards in each of his past two games. He did have a dud when they played the Rams the last time, only 37 yards. But he's already borderline. He's playing well. And if Debo's out, line a block. I mean, he's top 20 play and will be until Deebo returns. So he's looked good. He's looked good.
Cam Akers still not practicing for the Rams. Worth noting that while Kyren Williams has been designated to return, sounds like he will not play this week, I should say, for the Rams. So is this the last week you have to utilize Daryl Henderson, Mike? Because although he was missed practice on Wednesday due to illness, he mm-hmm. looks to be in line for a pretty significant role against the 49ers on Sunday.
Yeah, so let's talk about last week really quick here. 12 carries, 4 targets, and 44 snaps. Malcolm Brown was next with 16 snaps. So yeah. it was clearly Henderson's backfield. That's enough to put him in the RB2 or certainly the flex conversation, but really tough matchup. Niners' third fewest fantasy points to running backs. Only two running backs this season have gotten to 11.5 fantasy points against them. They've been dominant against that position. Low efficiency, low volume face. They've just been really good. So I don't think he's a lineup lock at all, but you know, if you're looking just for a volume play in your flex, he's the guy.
Again, Kyren Williams, eligible to return as soon as next week, would be certainly very interesting given how much preseason hype he generated specifically from Shefty. A note that I just saw, speaking of Shefty, he just tweeted that Corey Davis, who we mentioned earlier for the Jets, not going to play on Sunday. Yeah, Elijah Moore will. Moore obviously missed last week because there seems to be a differing of opinion between how he is being utilized in the offense and how he would like to be utilized in the offense.
By the way, the Rams backfield, just circling back, curious to see if Cam Akers gets traded and if not, maybe cut next Wednesday if he doesn't, because I mean, I thought it was an interesting note Adam mixed in yesterday, which was the Panthers didn't want him. He just said they just weren't interested in him. That kind of came kind of out of nowhere, but maybe there was some talks after McCaffrey was traded. They just didn't want him.
So. And I think that people should be like, the problem for Cam Akers is not what you're going to have to pay the Rams. I think they would trade him for a 7th-round pick yeah. right now.
It may be a conditional,
It's the salary. Mm-hmm. He's a 2nd-round pick, but like if Cam Akers is like a borderline like minimum-level salary player, a 2nd-round pick is going to be much more like $1 million per year. Like that's just for a guy that does not have the same explosiveness. One day I'm going to have to do some research on what the heck happened to Cam Akers. Let's go to the Giants and the Seahawks. This game should be a ton of fun, huh? Looking forward to these two teams squaring off. Two of the good stories in the NFL this season. Lineup blocks include, of course, Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Walker III, DK Metcalf, note on him in a second, plus Tyler Lockett, who's been really, really good as usual because he is Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf, though, is on the injury report. He has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday. Certainly seems like it is trending towards him not playing on Sunday. Does Marquise Goodwin do anything for you on Sunday, Mike?
I don't think so. I know he had the 2-touchdown game last week, and he'll play more snaps, obviously, if Metcalf is out. But check this out. He was targeted 5 times in that game with Metcalf missing a big chunk. He has reached 5 targets in 2 of his last 29 games, tracing all the way back to the beginning of 2019, right? Yeah. This is the guy that, you know, if he gets targeted, if he gets targeted 7 times, he might not make it through the game. Like, he's just had a hard time handling large volume. That's not his role, and that's why it's not a guy I'd feel great starting.
Is there somebody else that you think will play a prominent passing game role for Seattle amongst wide receivers? Or is it going to be like, hey, Noah Fant gets a couple extra targets,
exactly.
and Mo Disley gets...
Probably more tight end targets, maybe an extra one for Lockett. Eskridge, they try to get it to... Oops, there's still Penny Hart. Like, they'll... Yeah. And look, maybe Goodwin gets 5-6 targets, but it's... He might have 32 yards and no scores. Like, I don't feel great starting him at all.
All right, so Daniel Jones has cracked the top 10 for quarterbacks. I've got him as quarterback 9. You have him as quarterback 7. It's a feel-good story for sure, Mike. He definitely has been effective as a runner. Last week, he was awesome as a runner. How much upside do you think there is here for Daniel Jones? I'm really excited, but I also think it's worth noting he has two top 15 finishes so far this year.
Yeah, well, he's not passing the ball. He's outside the top 20 in pretty much all the passing categories, but he's top three in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. So he's kind of like 2021 Jalen Hurts kind of right now,
yeah.
Like, with less rushing touchdowns, yeah, I guess, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, but he does have 12 plus fantasy points in all seven games. So again, you're getting a little bit of a floor there. And the Seahawks have allowed 14 plus fantasy points to the quarterback in six of their seven games. So is that enough to be a back end
QB1?
Like, I think so.
Maybe.
I think he is.
But you said, so he has at least 12 fantasy points in every game?
Yeah.
How many do you know offhand, like how many he has with 20 fantasy points?
Probably none. Or one. Last week. He had 20.8. Yeah.
So it's like, I know I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's like, that's what Aaron Rodgers is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Aaron Rodgers kind had that streak where he went like four straight games with between 16 but less than 17 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about him like it's the worst starting quarterback in the history of fantasy football, right? And now there's like excitement over Daniel Jones. I'm not trying to say like,
yeah,
I've got him ranked higher than Aaron Rodgers, to be clear. I also think that like I saw a lot this week, like, hey, Daniel Jones proving he's been a fantasy sleeper this offseason. It's like, I would personally prefer to have a top 15 finish more frequently than 28% mm-hmm. of the time.
Yeah, but this is our point. Like, you have him QB9. Like, yeah. We have to rank someone. You have to start someone. You can't just leave. Yeah. You can't be like, I hate all these options, so I'm just not going to start a quarterback. Yeah. You have to pick someone from the group, whether it's totally. Russ or Rodgers or Daniel Jones or Andy Dalton. Like, you just have to pick from a bad group. I'd like to rank like a top five a quarterback and then just put everyone start at 20 for the next group.
Tiers, people. Yeah. Tiers. And I think there's a case that basically the tier that Daniel Jones is in is the tier that Geno Smith is in, right? They do things very differently. Obviously, Geno not as utilized as a runner, even if he is a solid athlete, but he's my quarterback 8 this week, one spot ahead of Daniel Jones. He's two spots behind Daniel Jones in your ranking, Mike. He hasn't been quite as prolific of late, but we did see a couple of those games against Detroit, against New Orleans, where he was slinging that pill. How would you evaluate the matchup against the Giants defense?
So the Giants have not allowed much upside to opposing quarterbacks. No quarterback has cleared 20 fantasy points against them. But again, Geno has at least given you a floor. He has 2+ passing touchdowns in 5 of his 7 games. And we will take that, you know, and you know how, why we'll take that? Because it's been enough for him to be a top 8 scoring quarterback this season, right? That's all it has taken for him with a little bit of added with his legs as well. So he's QB9 for me. You've probably started in the past couple of weeks. I know he hasn't been great, but you can continue to do so just because he's the best of a lot of bad options.
And probably worth mentioning, by the way, like who the Giants have faced in terms of opposing quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill, Baker Mayfield, Cooper Rush, Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence. So not exactly, they haven't exactly faced a gauntlet.
No. And I've talked about that in the past. They've had a very easy schedule so far, but you still have to stop those guys. Yeah. It's not like they're getting pummeled by bad quarterbacks. They're like, great matchup. You know, they've at least gotten the job done. So, and by the way, if you add Geno to that list, you're like, hey, it fits. It's not like we're talking
20-point games for Danny Dimes, by the way, according to Kyle.
There you go.
Packers go to Buffalo to play the Bills on Sunday Night Football. As far as lineup blocks go, there are a few of them, four to be specific. We've got Aaron Jones for the Packers. That's it on Green Bay's side. Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, and Stephon Diggs for the Bills with Gabe Davis. As far as I'm concerned, a lineup block, Mike, a little bit lower. We'll discuss that here in just a second. Injuries of note here. Alan Lazard sounds like he will not play on Sunday. He described the sound of when his shoulder got hurt last week as a snap, crackle, pop. Does not sound very fun. Lazard unlikely to play this week. Sounds like he will be available, though, in the coming weeks as he has not been placed on IR. Aaron Rodgers, I want nothing to do with this one, Mike, which is exactly the time in which Aaron Rodgers will just break out. But he hasn't had a finish better than top than 12 so far this season. I've got him as quarterback 20. This week.
I agree with you. He has exactly 2 touchdowns in 5 of his last 6 games, but the Bills on the season have allowed 5 passing touchdowns. The only quarterback to reach 14 fantasy points against the Bills, some guy named Patrick Mahomes, who you may have heard of.
Yeah.
Avoid at all costs. Rodgers should be benched.
So like rather than going through them one by one, is there any Packer you want to start besides Aaron Jones?
No. Jones is my only lineup lock. With Lazard out, theoretically, you'd be like, okay, Romeo Doubs, maybe there's enough to be a flex, but
against the Bills.
Against the Bills, and the comments around Rodgers make it seem like somebody's essentially in the doghouse, and it's probably him, right? Yeah. If you start connecting dots, who could this be? it's got to be Dobbs, right? Making the mental mistakes. Do they reduce his role? Does he throw it to Sammy Watkins 12 times in this game?
Yeah.
Maybe. I might use Watkins in DFS because he's 3Ks, like right. the cheapest you could go, and you could punt and spend elsewhere. But Dobbs might be their number one receiver and see six or seven targets. And if they're trailing, maybe, but yeah. I wouldn't want to. No.
Yeah. I've got Gabe Davis inside my top 20. You're a little bit lower, but I think we probably see him the same way, right? That we know that Gabe Davis is prone for 150 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Well, not that. 150 yards and a touchdown, but he also might have 3 for 38, not because he's playing badly or because the Bills get slowed down, but just because Stephon Diggs has such a massive target share and they can throw it to a lot of different players in Buffalo.
Yeah, hasn't cleared six targets in a game. That's kind of the volume, right? Yeah. You know, I kind of lean toward the volume argument for a lot of these players. We'll say this, J.R. Alexander, candidate to shadow Stephon Diggs. If he does, Eric Stokes will be on Gabe Davis, which is where, you know, naturally you're going to lean toward, right? Josh Allen will kind of lean toward Davis in that matchup. Diggs will get his, but maybe it's two targets instead of going to Diggs, go to Davis and could lead to a bigger game. So just something to think about there.
Can you imagine if both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers teams were 3-5 at that near halfway point of the season?
You know, this is probably not the conversation for right now, but I feel like, I'll just say this, I feel like this season more than ever before, at least since we've been alive, it's the least quarterback dependent season of all time. No question. Your quarterback means less than it ever has before, which is unbelievable. You wouldn't think that, but it just doesn't usually it's like, if you have a great quarterback, you're going to win. If you don't, you're in deep trouble. And that just, it's been more about the coaching and the rest of the roster this season. It just seems that way.
Let's move forward to our last game of the week. Monday Night Football, of course, on ESPN. It's being played on Halloween. It is the Battle of Ohio. The Bengals play the Browns. Game is in Cleveland. Lineup locks, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Nick Chubb, and Amari Cooper. Very sadly, we do not have Jamar Chase on that list.
Yeah.
As Jamar Chase, we found out yesterday, Mike, is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, according to Adam Schefter, because of a hip injury. This absolutely stinks.
Yeah.
Let's get into the fantasy fallout here. I feel very, 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 very bad for Jamar Chase. He is one of the game's brightest stars.
Fan injuries.
By the way, David Njoku, before we get to Jamar Chase, just a note. David Njoku, there was a report. It could be 2 to 5 weeks. He is not declaring himself out for Monday night. Make other plans for David Njoku. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to pivot, especially at that tight end spot. Back to Chase here. 4 to 6 weeks, Mike, obviously stinks. If he's back in 4 weeks, that's great news. We'd love to have him back for the home stretch of the season. Don't do anything other than stash him on IR. Would not be dropping Jamar Chase, even if you have a tight bench. But let's talk about the fallout here. What does it mean for the other two wide receivers in Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's interesting because this one's kind of easy to sort out in a lot of ways, right? T. Higgins, wide receiver one, no doubt about that. You're already starting him. Tyler Boyd is already a top 20 scorer receiver this season. Are you starting him? Of course you are. He's essentially a lineup lock. He's been good in the past, right? He's already had top 20 fantasy seasons in the past before or alongside AJ Green, right? So we're locking him in. Hayden Hurst, a little boost, a little more secure as a back end tight end one. And that's pretty much it. Yeah. So,
and I would tell you that, like, even if Joe Burrow has like a 5 or 10% decrease in terms of overall production without Jamar Chase, he's still one of the few usable quarterbacks. So don't worry too much about Joe Burrow. His value is not going to crater without Jamar Chase.
And go ahead. I was just going to say Burrow, by the way, you know, we talked in the offseason about how like his rate sets were off the charts and he's going to come back to earth. He has.
Yeah.
The difference, he's running the ball. Like we talked, like what can save him? Because he's going to regress to the mean, like his yards per attempt and that will come down, his touchdown rate, things like that. How can he save that and kind of leap forward in fantasy? It's rushing, and he's on pace to blow by what he did last season. That's been huge for him, and that's why he's kind of secure now as a QB1.
You know, obviously that Jamar Chase has been a massive impact on the Bengals last year, helping them get to the Super Bowl. But when they took him, some were like, it's kind of a luxury, right? Like, you already have really good wide receivers. So if any team is built to sustain without a player of Jamar Chase's caliber, Cincinnati is on the short list of teams that are best equipped to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, both startable this week. Although we have Boyd a little, he's a more of a strong flex consideration this week as opposed to a lineup lock. As far as other players, Mike, you just mentioned Hayden Hurst, who gets a little bit of a bump. ESPN's 10th ranked tight end for this week. Mm-hmm. He's been solid. He's a good player, good athlete. And I think there's a chance that, as you said, he might see, you know, 1 to 2 more targets per game, which is good enough to get him on that top 10 tight end radar.
Right.
Kareem Hunt, what do you do here, Mike? Because I don't know how you can, like, if you're playing him, it's because you either have limited options or a gut call. Other than that, there's not a lot of evidence you should be playing him.
Yeah. A lot of people have limited options right now with all the injuries. Totally. So you might be starting him. I know I'm using him in one league. 20 yards on 10 touches in his last two games. It's going the wrong direction. I think the saving grace there, if you want some hope, is that his snap share has stayed consistent all season, right? So he had some big games with his usage. He's had some down games. Maybe he has a couple big plays and gets back on track. This is a tough matchup, though. Bengals have only allowed 4 touchdowns to running backs, very few yards and fantasy points. I wouldn't want to start him. He's 33rd on my board, but he's at least in that flex conversation if you're in a tight spot.
They haven't allowed a second half touchdown all season, the Bengals.
Wow.
So that'll be a stat that'll be used plenty, I'm sure, on the broadcast on Monday night. We can't wait for that one. The winner, what happens if you win the Battle of Ohio?
I don't know. We have to ask Keith that one. I'm not sure. Is there a trophy or something?
You get a year's supply of Grater's ice cream. It will make your life better. We're going to come back and do the most important part of the show.
Yes.
We're going to rank Halloween candies, top 5 from each one of us. You get to decide, you, the listeners, the viewers, get to decide which one of us is smart and which one of us is crazy. Before we do that, though, inflation and rising interest rates are forcing many to rethink their personal investing playbook. Tackle the challenge of finding the right income strategy as you navigate this period of volatility. At Global X ETFs, our funds look beyond what you might have considered, offering solutions for investors seeking to increase or diversify the yield potential of their portfolio. Visit globalxetfs.com/income to learn more. All right, now we're back. And Mike, you and I both decided on our top 5 Halloween candies. Mm-hmm. Halloween, of course, on Monday. Can't wait for that. If you're in the chat right now, let us know what you think. Kyle will moderate that and solicit feedback.
Let's go.
Being the gentleman, I will allow you to go first to your mic as we reveal your top 5 Halloween candies.
All right. So here we go. We're going to count them down from 5. So number 5 here.
Yep.
Trolley Sour Bite Crawlers. Really good. Really good. Low key. Okay. Skittles. That's an easy one. Number 4. Got to get them in there. Twizzler Nibs. Not regular Twizzlers.
Twizzler Nibs. Why the Nibs versus the Nibs, regular Twizzler?
They just taste better. I don't know. It's just something about the texture and the taste. They're fantastic. All right. This is an important one. Let's be clear. Starburst are 2, but red Starburst. Wow. Okay.
So pink is the correct answer, but I'll let it slide.
Excuse me?
Pink.
Get out.
No,
here's what you do. You open the pack of Starburst, you pick out all the reds, and you dump them back in your kid's candy satchel, okay? You take the red ones. That's all. Number 2 is red Starburst. And number 1, look, I'm from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. I grew up near the Hershey Chocolate Factory in Hershey Park. I grew up there going to Hershey Bears hockey games. You know, I'm going with Hershey here. I'm going with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Best in the business. They're number 1.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be much of a debate.
Chocolate and peanut butter? Like, come
on. It's hard to screw that up. So I'm not going to reveal my entire top 5 without the full screen ahead, but Reese's will certainly be in my top 5.
Okay.
What the heck? Let's do the entire 5 right now. Let's get to it as number 5. And I have one controversial pick that I am prepared to take some flack for. But number 5, Starburst.
Only the red ones.
If I only could choose one, it would actually be a pink Starburst.
Ah, man. But
Mike, I'll let it fly.
I guess we'd get along. You could take the you take the pink, I'd take the red, the rest we throw in the trash. Yeah. Okay.
Number 4, 100 gram bars. Really good. Great texture there. Love the 100 gram bars. Number 3, and this is my spicy pick, Almond Joys. Tremendous, tremendous candy. For those that don't like, what don't you like about them?
I don't eat them. I can't remember the last time I've had them. Almonds, I'm turned off by almonds.
Almonds are great.
I like the word, you know, coconut, joy gets me excited. Great. Almonds, no.
Yeah. Mounds also awesome. They're the cousin of the Almond Joy, but they're dark chocolate with no almonds. Number 2, Skittles. So we've got some crossover here.
Yes, we do.
And then number 1, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Really, I mean, it's if you don't think that's the best Halloween candy, then if you come to my house, you will get an apple. Like, that's what happens. If you don't, like,
you get the yogurt, like I said yesterday, you get, was that on this show or was that the DFS? You put the yogurt in with I just dump yogurt right in your bag. So that's good. What you get.
Kyle, I think, has some reaction from the chat, or maybe he's trying to gather some.
But first of all, it comes down to this. If you're voting, right? So Reese's cross off, Skittles cross off. We both have those.
Starburst cross
off. So you have to decide on Starburst if you prefer red or pink. And then you have to decide on Trolley Sour Bright Crawlers and Twizzler Nibs versus Almond Joy and 100
gram bar.
Okay, so that's the split.
Have the people spoken at all, Kyle?
The people are speaking. The first few votes were all Skittles, which kind of surprised me. Chewy, it's not my thing, but Reese's Pieces, any version of Reese's was the clear-cut winner, so you guys are on the right path there. Steve wanted to weigh in with Hotel Pillow Mints, is a funny option. I thought that was pretty good.
It's a very specific one, Steve, but
that's probably like in the top 500, I would say. But, yeah.
No, I like them because you get to the hotel room. Oftentimes you're tired. It's late at night. You're like, oh, that would be a perfect thing to indulge
on. Halloween. That's not a Halloween candy.
Kit Kats and Three Musketeers were good. Also wrong. Yep. High up there in the votes. And candy corn, by far the most divisive of topics. We had five people loving it. And, you know, people going
the
other
direction. Where do you weigh in on candy corn, Kyle?
I'm out on candy corn. I'm not on candy corn.
Okay. Are you in or out on candy corn?
I don't really eat it. It's fine. So
it's fine. I don't like fiend for candy corn. Yeah. I also will eat it if there is some there. But if you had to choose between the corn, like the tri-colored corn or the pumpkins, which one do you prefer?
I would say the candy corn probably. I'm just going to get some Reese's peanut butter cups and some nibs and call it a day. So
I think the people have spoken about the Almond Joy. Let's hear, Kyle, what are the people saying about Almond Joy?
Is there a poll here?
Hate it or what?
Yeah, they're out on Almond Joys for the most part here. We didn't get many takes on the way of nibs for you, Mike. What? So come I think on. That might be a little too specific.
All right, next time you're at the store, grab a pack and thank me later. All
as
right,
we
you're
stand
out.
Right now, and obviously we're early in the voting process, Field, 52% of the vote prefer Field's list.
Yeah, decisive victory.
48% to
decisive
Mike.
Decisive victory right there,
you know,
right?
Red Starburst should get me over the top. That's embarrassing. No, but whatever, way, more thing nibs is that, for
like,
me.
I was going to say, if people don't like Almond Joys, just send them my way.
Yeah,
just
right.
Send
I'll
them
take all your
ESPN
Red Starburst.
Attention, Mike Clay's assistant. That's what my mailbox
I want the Red Starburst. Send me those.
Actually is. All right, that's all we have for today's show. We're going to come back on Sunday to recap all things Week 8, and we'll see whether or not Mike's Eagles are still undefeated and whether or not Mike's Phillies are still undefeated in the World Series. Enjoy what should be an awesome weekend of sports. We'll talk to you guys later on this weekend. For Mike, I am Field. Hope you enjoyed the show. Happy Halloween. Be safe out there on Monday. Good job, Mike.
Yeah, it was fun. I want some candy now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get some. See you later.
Jeez.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact. He's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.